Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy. Holy. Holy.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, good night, good night. Welcome, welcome one and all to another Bible study. Can you believe today is the first day of the third month already? In a year that just started. Welcome, 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 welcome. Indeed, it's a beautiful day. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, just waiting on others to join. Hope they're not having any hiccups joining. You know, but if it continue to ask if like for username and password and stuff, you can always use the option to join as a guest if you have that option available. You know, other than that, and sometimes it will ask you for like a meeting ID and stuff. I'm going to send a meeting ID in the chat, you know, so you can write it down. It's going to be the same meeting ID from week to week. It's going to be the same meeting ID and the same password, you know. So if it asks you for that, feel free to use that. Amen. While others join, let's just go into time of prayer. Let us pray. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So love he the world that he gave us his son. We give you thanks, mighty God, for this another Bible study night. Another night that we come to hear from you. We pray, mighty God, for the liberty that your Holy Spirit brings to be our portion. I pray, mighty God, for clarity. In the name of Jesus, I come against every attack of darkness. In the name of Jesus, I pray, mighty God, that this broadcast be covered under your blood. Hallelujah. I pray, mighty God, for those that are earnestly trying to join even now and having any hiccups. I bind those forces. Yes, mighty God, and I release it. I give them even now, mighty God. Hallelujah. Technical wisdom. Yes, mighty God, to navigate through whatever obstacle that may be in the way. I pray, mighty God, that as we will come with a heart of thanksgiving, knowing, Lord, that it's for your purpose that we are avail, that we have availed ourselves to be fed by you, from you, with you. We pray, mighty God, that you'll open up our minds to understand you. Yes, mighty God, I pray that you will cause our minds to be so focused that every distraction will be second nature. And we, Lord God, will cleave to you, that you will feed us. Mighty God, I pray that when we shall leave this line, that we should leave with something more to empower us. As we seek, mighty God, your will and your way. So even now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my God, my strength, and my Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We welcome you.
Amen.
Welcome you, welcome you, welcome you. To God be the glory, great things he has done. And we just continue to bask in his presence, where it's continually a joy, a fullness of joy. And we know that whenever we come, there's always a refreshing. We thank God for that refreshing this evening. We thank God that he has indeed prepared a rhema word for us. Mm-hmm. I pray that as the studies would go forth, that it will be so specific to our individual need. It will meet us at the point of need, and we shall never be the same again. Amen. So with that, I want to just welcome you all. We're still looking at our brother Moses. Moses, he has contributed so much. So much. He has contributed so much. And we can learn so much from him, you know, by the experience that he had. We can use it as an example that we too can have the breakthroughs and the victories that he has experienced, being so closely knitted to Almighty God. Amen. And so last week and the weeks before, we look at the plagues. We look at Moses in general, his birth. We look at how he was raised up in Pharaoh's household in Egypt, having an Egyptian name, because you know Moses is an Egyptian name. Mm-hmm. And we see where he slayed one of the Egyptians that was doing injustice to Israel, to God's chosen people, and Moses killed that one, and he thought nobody saw him. You know, Moses killed that one. He thought nobody saw him. But the other day, the next day or day after that, he was correcting one of the he was correcting someone there, and they said, "Are you going to who put you a leader over us? Are you going to kill us like what you did with the Egyptian?" So now Moses realized that the word has been out that he's a murderer. And maybe if he had killed someone from Egypt, it would have been gone unnoticed because the Egyptians were slaved there. But to know that he killed an Egyptian, of which they had the persuasion that he too was an Egyptian, because he was brought up in Pharaoh's house. He was brought up in Pharaoh's house. So it would have been like he had killed one of his own.
Yes,
so he gets scared, just like all of us as human. He gets scared and he run away. So that's how you end up reaching
Midian,
and he was there, and he got wife there and stuff, and he met with God in the burning bush. He saw the bush burning and it was consumed, and God would speak to him and say, "Take thy shoes off, because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground."
Okay.
So that puzzled Moses, or startled Moses in such a way that he wanted to meet this great Lord God that would cause that brilliant fire to be burning, and yet the bush was not consumed. Take his shoes off and realize the containment of that holy ground. And so God would have qualified Moses then and there, that he would be the one that would take his children out of the of slavery. You know, so God speak to Moses and say, "My people over there in Egypt that are slaves in Egypt, they're crying out for a deliverer. They realize that this cannot be, because how can we, the chosen people of God, our foreparents have had experience so much of God? Because when they remember, Joseph, you know, when they remember Abraham, Isaac, you know, and the promises that were laid down on them, and they said, no, we cannot be the people of God, and we're here under bondage in Egypt, you know, there must be something more. So God heard their cry, And that time it was 600,000 men. God heard their cry, and God would speak to Moses and say, go deliver them. And Moses would have spoken back to God and said, no, not so. I am slow of speech. I cannot talk. And God now would make a way where there seems to be no way. God now would tell Moses, yeah, go, and your brother Aaron is a talkative one. I would use Aaron to be your mouthpiece. Oh, and geez. So he would send Moses. So Moses was comforted by that. And then God showed Moses two little signs, because we people love signs, you know, but the signs should not be that we are a people that really serve because of signs. We should serve God because he is God, you know. But Moses get a little sign that the rod that he had, God would turn it into a snake and he would pick it up, and he would feel so good and powerful that he have a little trick. And he went there, and Aaron was the one who met him, and his appearance coming into Egypt, Aaron met him, because it's like God would have set Aaron up to know that his brother Moses, that maybe they didn't know where he was. They know that he ran away, and God would set him up. So Aaron was the one who met him first. And we looked over the weeks at the plagues, the 10 plagues that God had brought upon Egypt. And we realized that these plagues were not just plagues, but it's God who would use these discomfort season to strike against the many gods of Egypt. Because, you know, Egypt, they used to worship idols and stuff. So God would use these plagues to strike against the gods of Egypt, to let Egypt know that there is only one Lord God. Only one Lord God. And to let them know that what they are going on with down in Egypt is foolishness, because their God that is made from sticks and animals and, you know, the sun and whatever, is nothing comparing.
The Almighty God.
The God of the universe. They are shortchanging themselves. And so we saw where the various plagues come, turning water, turning the River Nile into blood. That's the water in River Nile, turning it into blood. We see the frogs, we see the lice, we see the flies, we see the livestock diseases. We saw boils and ails and locusts and darkness and finally death. It takes death for Pharaoh to realize it takes the death of his firstborn son and all the firstborn of the children of Israel, the people in Egypt. Remember, and receive where none of these plagues affected the children of Israel. They were safe. They were safe down there in Goshen. And we can draw strength from that no matter what is happening around us, that we don't have to look like our circumstances and our situation. We don't have to look like what is happening around us. We are a people of God, and we live a victorious life. Amen. Yes, amen. We live a victorious life in Christ. So we don't look like our surrounding as children of God. We are, we are God's people. Amen. So we are at the point now where Pharaoh get freed and run away the people and say, get out and go worship your God. Get out, every one of you. Every jackman, even the animals, everything, just go. Because it's like Egypt was left in ruin. Everything broken up down there. So it's at the point now where he said go, and the children of Israel would leave. Amen.
Amen.
And we're still looking at the book of Exodus. And I would hope that this week would be our final touching up on Moses, and we'll move on to Joshua next week. Yes. So as Sister June would prepare our first lesson for us, which is taken from Exodus 14, verse 8, and then move on from 10 to 16. I just want you to know that truly our God is very unique in every way, and our finite mind cannot understand or fathom the infinity, the infinite God that we worship. And he does things in mysterious ways. You know, it's not all the while we can point finger on how he would work in our circumstances. So as we come this evening, we have a rejoicing spirit, knowing that the same God who delivered Israel when they cried out to him,
deliver
the same God that will deliver you and I. You know, and we look at the point or the fact that God would want to move Israel into a land flowing with milk and honey, into Canaan land. He promised them to give them Canaan land, a land that is flourishing. When one of the spy went up there, Joshua was one of them, went to spy in the land. They saw some, they came back with some cluster of grapes. It was the biggest grapes and biggest clusters to flourishing the land was. And God promised his people, Israel, his chosen people, that he would give them Canaan land to live in. And did it by taking them through the wilderness first. You know, taking them from wilderness experience first, a place where there was nothing there. It was bare and empty. Didn't have a Walmart or any Burger King or KFC. It didn't have any convenience store. Everything that they needed, God would have provided for them. It was a place of complete dependence on God. And so as you and I would go through this life, maybe you're at a place where you're at a place where you're everything, you're a complete depending on God for everything. That is a good place for you to be, because it's in preparation for your Canaan land. It's in preparation for your land that is flowing with milk and honey. So don't get discouraged when you think that you're lacking certain things. God is a provider. And though he may not provide everything that you would need at once, because you cannot contain it. If God was to provide everything that you would need at once, you wouldn't contain it. If God promised that he's going to take you somewhere, maybe he tell you the destination where he's going to take you, but he don't tell you the route that you would have to take to get to that destination. He didn't tell you the tears that you'd have to cry night after night. He didn't tell you the heartaches and pain that you'd feel going through, getting under that obedience, you know, getting that rigid training from him, you know, as he take you into possess whatever I want you to possess. You know, so you know the end, but you don't know what is going to happen in the making to get you to the end. Just like we are heaven bound people, you know, we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But to get through this life to the other life that we're going to live with God through eternal years, it's not explained, oh, you and I, individually, what challenges that we'd have to face in order to get over. But we know that we are heaven bound. We know that comes what may, if we keep our eyes focused, then we will meet that eternal bliss that he has prepared for us. Amen. Sister Joan, are you ready with that first lesson taken from Exodus 14.
Hello, good night. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear, sis.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Okay, I'll be reading. You said Exodus 14, verse 8, and then 10 to 16. And
amen.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. I hope that's okay, because that's the only Bible I have at home.
You're good, sis.
Okay, Exodus 14, verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Jump down to verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us, to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry for me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Here ended God's holy word.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Yes. You see what is happening here? Is the same people who were praying to God to deliver them. Children of Israel, same people who were praying to God. And the first obstacle they meet upon the Red Sea, they would have chicken out. They would have feared so much, and they would start to murmur. And they would start to say that they should have been back.
Fear.
Should have been up there, because now that they're there, and they're saying, are there not enough graves? Are there not enough graves over there in Egypt? Why
they took hold
of us here? Yes, but then again, we see where God would harden Pharaoh's heart again, because God wasn't finished with him yet. After the death of the firstborn, God wasn't finished with him yet, because what was happening in Egypt, and as I said, Egypt represents a type of sin. What was happening in Egypt was so pronounced and so bad that even the death of the firstborn couldn't quench God's anger against that wicked place. The death of the firstborn could not quench God's anger on that wicked place. God wanted to deal with Pharaoh and to show him that he is God, you know, in spite of all the plagues, the 10 plagues. So God would cause him not to have any rest there in Egypt, but that he would go to pursue the children of Israel, you know, and he would there thinking that maybe the children of Israel, they are lost because they weren't exposed to that side of the world. So he would think that they would be there going just scattered like a lost sheep over there in the wilderness. So he sent his men, his choicest men, his chariots and everything to go there. But we're going to realize from it that with blessing comes responsibility. You know, if you're not responsible, you won't be able to keep the blessing. You know, so with blessing, it comes responsibility. You know, so now that they are at the Red Sea, and you know, and we read in scripture that you know, I just want to emphasize a bit on verse 13 to 15. Exodus 14, verse 13 to 15. I'm going to ask Sister Shelley just to read over that portion. Read over that portion. It's already read, but just read it over. Sister Shelley, Exodus 14, hello. 13 to 15.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hello. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Shelley.
How's everyone doing?
You're doing good.
Good night,
sis. Right. Okay. I'm going to read from 13 to 15, right?
Yes.
Okay. And every firstling of an... Is this what somebody say this?
Ah?
13.
Exodus 14, 13 to 15. Exodus I'm reading 13 instead of 14. Sorry.
13 to 15. Where is that? 13.
Exodus 14, 13 to 15. Okay, hold on. How do I find it? 1 second. I'm using the phone app. Sorry, guys.
No problem. Take your time.
Okay, 13 to 14. To 15.
13
sorry.
To 15. Yes.
And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Jehovah will fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. It's correct, right? The right one, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And Jehovah said unto Moses, wherefore crieth shall go unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You see that's a comforting.
Yes. Working it out. Amen. Amen.
Yes, that's a comforting word. Moses tell them. He said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, mm-hmm. As we go through our daily struggles and trials and tribulations and whatever we may go through, if we have a word like this, that the enemies that we see, you know, that we have seen today, we shall see them no more forever.
Yeah, hallelujah.
You
know,
he went on to say, the Lord shall fight for you.
Yes,
if you
Lord.
Hold your peace.
Yes,
if
Lord.
If you hold your peace, the Lord shall fight for you and I.
You shall hold
how comforting that is. Yeah,
yes,
it's so comforting to know that the Lord is the one that's going to fight the battle for us.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Go forward in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
You know, the Lord has given us the authority.
Amen.
Yeah, thank he has you. Given us the authority that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven.
Thank
whatever
you,
we loosen on earth is loosed in heaven. And you see, the man of God who stand up under the authority. I want you to know that when the authority that the Lord has given unto us, we can speak the word. We can speak the word and it come to pass. Because he has equipped us in such he has equipped us to be victors and not victims. You know,
yes.
We see the word. The word of God tells us in Romans 10 and verse 8. It said the word is nigh thee. That means the word is near thee.
Yeah,
even in thy mouth.
Yes.
And in thine heart. The word of faith which we preach. Even in our mouth and in our heart. The word is near unto us. You know, so we need to exercise our faith like what Moses did before Israel and says, stand still, you know, speak to the circumstance, the situation, speak to it there and then, you know, and you speak to it. So they were trapped, the children of Israel, they were trapped between Pharaoh
oh Lord
and
oh,
the
Lord.
Red Sea,
yes,
you know, they
Lord.
Were trapped there. We saw in scripture that there was an angel. God would direct an angel to go before the children of Israel.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
The angel were their pilot, representing okay. Almighty God. The angel were their pilot. And over where the angel was, there was a pillar of cloud.
Yes.
And the children of Israel would follow that pillar of cloud.
Amen. Amen.
And we realize that when the angel get the wink, or the angel would have known that Pharaoh and his men would pursue them. That angel, that angel stood behind, went now and stood behind the children of Israel, and the cloud, the glory cloud that was going before them, come behind them to show you how protective God is
protective.
Of his people.
Amen.
To show you how protective he is of his people.
He's
the cloud that was before them came behind them. And the angel stood in the midst there. So when the Egyptian, looked, they could not see the children of Israel. The cloud separate them, and they could not see them to how God would have preserved Israel, would have preserved his people.
Yes. Protect you.
Many a times, that's the same thing that is happening to us as children of God. Many a times we go through some circumstances and some situation, and we're wondering how we have gotten through it is because
get through it.
God would have put a barrier behind us to hide us from the enemy.
I just in the cleft of the rock. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's where the barrier developed, form like a garrison. You know, a garrison like a soldiers around you, protecting you. And that's where the darts of the enemy, the darts of the Egyptian would come after them. It would deflect from that glory cloud, from that protective coat that God would have placed around us.
Amen. Amen.
God is very protective of us, his people.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, he's very protective. We have to understand.
19.
We have to understand that those day that we live godly in this present time must suffer persecution.
Yes.
We're going to come underneath a lot of trials.
But
the word of God tells us, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, there is no temptation taking you and I, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will never suffer you and I to be tempted above which ye are able.
Yes.
And will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you and I may be able to bear it.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So don't you ever think for a moment that what you're going through is peculiar and you alone. You are like the black sheep in the flock. God would have set you up for such a time like that, because he won't take you where his grace cannot keep you.
Yes.
He's not going to take you where his grace cannot keep you. He has led the children of Israel to the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he have led them there? Because he wants to show them.
To them through.
You know, I wonder how many of you are willing to let God show up in your life. Let God just show off in your life. Let him just show off his glory in your life.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God.
Watch this. The people, the children of Israel would be enrooting through the Red Sea, going into the wilderness. They would be enrooting through the Red Sea. The Red Sea piled up in walls on both sides.
Mm.
When God would stretch forth, when Moses would stretch forth the rod, the Red Sea piled up. You tell me now. You tell me now. You, as a child of God, would you ever venture into that path unless you're doing it by faith?
My God, Jesus.
Give the children of Israel credit, because you and I, we maybe would think twice before we would go in there, because we're going to say it's going to come in and devour us.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus. Give them credit. They were murmurers, yes, just like we. They were the curse and the complaint, just like we. But give them some credit to go through that Red Sea, that path that God has prepared for them when the water was heaped up on both sides. And they had the courage and the faith to walk through it. Sometimes when you're going through some struggles in life and some problems in life, they say when you go through some problem, picnic shot fit you. You know, because they realized that they could not have gone back because the fear of army was behind them. So they have to go in that path that God has cut clear for them. They have to go forward. Are they going to face fear's wrath behind them? So they, all of them, the 600,000 men plus the cattle, not to mention cattle, because they come in like they have a sixth sense. Animals, they come in like they have a sixth sense. If they sense danger, they're not going to go. Animals, if they sense any danger, and all the animals, none of them turned back. They went straight through the Red Sea.
Oh, God. What a great...
If animals can obey the voice of Almighty God and go through.
What a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's ponder that a little as Brother Emil would come with the third lesson from Exodus 14, 19 to 22. Brother Emil would prepare that word for us. So fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which has shown you this day. You know, the children of Israel, take that with you, that they had that faith to walk through that Red Sea. It's easy to read about it. But for them to actually walk through that Red Sea and dry ground with the water heaped up, you know, and know that it was no wall there, it was the hand of Almighty God that was shining it and both sides. You know, give them some credit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Emil, could you come with that lesson, sir?
Thank you, Jesus.
And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them.
My God.
In the camp of the Egyptian, and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them.
Yes,
but
Lord.
By night to thee, so that the one came not near thee at all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night.
Mighty God.
I made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided.
Oh God.
And the children of Israel went to the midst of the sea upon the dry ground.
Yes, yes.
And the waters were a wall unto them, and their right hand and on their left. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Amen. Amen. Yes. So you see, that's the part that we explained before, that the angel went from before and went behind to protect them, be the rear guard. So you see, when prayer warriors are, when you're praying and you say, God, I want you to be my fore guard and my rear guard. That's the rear guard that we're talking about.
Yes.
The rear guard.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's like soldiers standing back to back, partner with an angel today. Know for sure that he's going to take you to God. Amen. Yes, so the grass and dry ground is no chicken feed that we're talking about. It's no bread and cheese type of salvation, that this type of salvation that Israel have gotten there. They had unquenchable faith, a faith that could not quench, that they had. That's the type of faith that we should try to develop as professing Christians, to know, thus said the Lord, and to do what God said. I want to tell you something, you know. anything God tells you to do is not always the easiest, you know, if you look at it in the physical. But in the spirit, it's what going to make you into what God would have you to be, the type of character. God is building character. So we see there where Moses led the children of Israel through the Red Sea and dry ground by the power of Almighty God. Power. And that was the beginning. That was a beginning of Moses' courageous leadership.
Hey, thank you, Jesus.
Because he had to be partakers of that crossing to, you know, Moses went in it with them. So I applaud the children of Israel under Moses' leadership to have gone through that to bring forth the trust in Almighty God for that. You know, so the job God called Moses to do was full of difficulties and challenges.
Praise God.
The job that he called Moses to do, to lead those children of Israel, is full of difficulties and challenges. Moses never hid his emotion from God. Moses never hid his emotions from God. And his questions, he asked God's question. You know, in Exodus chapter 15, we saw where the children of Israel, they were singing songs and praises. They make melodies of what had gone on in Egypt. How God would deliver them. They sang about it. It was music to their ears to see how God destroyed the enemy gods of Egypt. It was music, and they sang about it. And no longer than they sang, they meet up on Mara. They meet up on Mara, and they start to complain again. Isn't that a type of people that we are today, that even when we get the breakthrough and we've just gone over, we just crossed some hurdles, then as soon as one more comes, we start to get depressed. You remember the prophet Elijah? When he went upon Mount Carmel and he make fire come down from heaven and consume the sacrifice and beat over 400 Baal prophets. He beat them and run them off and stuff, kill them too. And when Jezebel heard what Elijah did on Mount Carmel, remember that Jezebel was Ahaz's wife. You know? Ahaz was the king that time, and he married to Jezebel. And when Jezebel get a wink of it, because, you know, Jezebel was a part of Baal worship, you know. And Jezebel said a word to Elijah and said, if I go and kill you when I catch you. And Elijah would run. It's just one Jezebel, you know. He just beat up 400. He just killed 400 Baal prophets, you know. And he just make fire come down from heaven, you know. And just one Jezebel let him run.
Amen.
And when he run, he not only run, but he wished to God that he die. He wished to God that he die. Just one Jezebel. So we see that one Jezebel. And he run. And he wished to God that he died. And he just had the mighty victory of the power of Almighty God deliver him and igniting a wet altar, burning a wet altar in the presence of the Baal prophets, and the man of God run when Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you." So we see the children of Israel 3 days after the mighty breakthrough that they had, and 3 days after they sang, they meet on Mara where the water was bitter, and they start to complain, and God will show Moses a tree and say, "Put that tree in the water, and it will become sweet." You know, and they murmur and they drunk the water and stuff, and God, they would murmur so that they're hungry. God would give them manna. God would say, take up just enough
to eat.
And they lack of faith. The lack of faith caused them to take up more than they can chew and squat and stink.
Yes. Glory.
Squat and stink the next day. And stuff. Because God was showing them how to live by faith, daily live by faith. Obedience is key. Obedience to God is key.
Yes.
You know? So the children of Israel continued their journey through the wilderness. They murmured more and more as they continue. They wish that they would have left in Egypt to die. And it's the same people that were crying out. The same people that were crying out for deliverance. Deliverance come and they refuse it because they murmur. How many of you today, you have been in a situation and now you have given your life to God and things looking better. And as soon as you meet up on an obstacle, you want to turn back out into the world. You want to go back into the world to your, like a dog to his vomit.
Yes.
You know, after God has shown you that mighty miracle of salvation, full and free, you know?
Yes.
So Moses was told by God in when he was in Mount Horeb. And Moses was told by God to strike the rock to get water from it, to feed, to give the people to drink and so, because they continue to murmur.
Yes.
You know, and Moses did just that. He strike the rock and water come gushing out and they drank. They witnessed God's hand because nowhere Moses could just strike the rock and water come out unless it's God sent and God promise and God will and stuff. You know? But when they went to the desert of sin, that's
sin.
Don't mix up that desert of sin with the wilderness of S-I-N. That desert of sin is Z-I-N.
Z-I-N.
Yeah, the desert of sin. God told Moses to speak to the rock to give the people them water to drink. So that water would come out to feed the people and the cattle and stuff. But Moses then disobeyed God and he strike the rock instead of speaking to the rock, he strike the rock like what he did in Horeb.
Hallelujah.
And that led to Moses that God was so angry with Moses then that he said, you won't see the promise, you won't go and lead the people into the promised land.
Yes.
He said, you won't lead the people in the promised land because you strike the rock. And that rock is Jesus. The rock is Jesus. He strike the rock.
Hallelujah.
And not only did he strike the rock, but he swear. He said, he called the people rebel. He said, come drink, you rebel. God's people, he called them rebel.
Yes. Jesus. Because Moses was frustrated with them.
They're frustrated.
Deliverance coming, they started to murmur. So he got frustrated because we're human and imperfect. You see, so Moses said, drink, he fed up of them. So he said, drink, he rebels. The meekest man, the meekest man.
He said, drink, the rebels.
So meek, and yet
God
they
was
get
upset for them.
Yeah, get him to do what he had not to do, what he should not do.
We of us who are leaders, we have to be so careful and so circumspect in our walk. We can't cause others that we lead to force us to go above measure, and stuff in order to for their own selfish gains and stuff. There is it that the man of God who had crossed the Red Sea, who had made and pray to God so that manna could fall from heaven. How is he? He's not able to go into the promised land. And you see, if you read further down in, I think it is Numbers or so now, you see where God was so gracious unto Moses still. Moses said he wanted to get a glimpse of what Canaan land looked like. And God would take him up to the mountain and show him what Canaan land looked like. God was so personable and so personal with Moses so that he could he had such a relationship with Moses and God. That's the type of relationship that I want to develop with Almighty God, wherein I can speak to him like how Moses spoke to him. And you know, man, I'm telling you,
God, mighty God, God.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, so they continue to complain, and it led to Moses, you know. Hallelujah.
And then, Brother Everton, what came to my mind a while ago is that sometimes, even with three students, you can find things happen to us because you're fed up of sometimes of people, even everyday situation, just like Moses, things will happen sometimes. People complain, people say this and that, and even you fall into sin too. You see, yes. Because if you're not careful.
Yes, and what is telling us that we have to be careful what we say to God's people. We have to be careful what we say to God's people.
Israel, God's chosen people.
All the God's coming, you as the leader must know what to say. Eh? Because when you say something that hurt God,
yes,
amen.
God's people.
Yes, careful. Yeah.
Careful. Eh? All that going on with Moses was such a meek man. He was such a meek person. And yet, because of provocation,
he
disobeyed. God says, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. And he hit the rock. He hit the rock. And he said also, drink you rebels. Eh?
Curse God. God.
Yes.
Curse God, people. He said, drink your rebels. God was not pleased with that. Yeah?
Yeah.
We as Christians, so we must stop murmur. God does like murmuring people. Mm-hmm. We have to stop murmur. Yeah. We feel for murmur, give thanks. Give thanks instead of murmur.
And then again, yes, and then again, sometimes, as we use the word, you have to be careful because sometimes you meet some people and they never have a praise on their mouth. Pure complaint. Yes, they just a complaint. They don't look at what God has done for them and the goodness. God will see those things. They just a complaint. How things are. You know? And so you have people that are around us too.
Start to give thanks. Stop the grumbling. Stop the grumbling.
Amen.
Remove your blessing from you. The blessing is removed when you start to grumble.
Hallelujah. Yes, calling the people of God rebel. Yeah, they provoked him. They provoked Moses. Okay, so we have to be careful.
Moses was a humble person. And yet he could not go to the promised land. He could not go there. Because
they were not mature.
Oh God.
Yeah, we have to be so. That's why we have to pray for our leaders. We have got to be praying for our leaders and stuff. So God will give them godly wisdom, you know, and stuff, because it's heavy. And I can just imagine Moses' heart after that. You know, how he feels after that, you know?
And it was the same Moses.
It was the same Moses that spent time with God up on the Mount Sinai and got the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. You know, he got the Ten Commandments and stuff, how people should live, how they should live and stuff, you know?
But just one thing, the promised land, couldn't go over there.
And you remember too, that God would say to Moses that he's going to destroy those people because they are rebellious. And he's going to destroy them and have a new set of people coming in and stuff. And Moses would intercede and say, "No, Lord."
Yes,
Moses would intercede and say, "No, Lord." And yet these same people that Moses interceded for, they were the same people that led to Moses not entering into the promised land. You know, after being there with God so much from the very outset, you know?
Jesus, we have to be careful, Everton. We have to be careful. We have to be careful to God's people.
Yeah, and when we look at Exodus chapter 33, verse about 9 to 23 or whatever, we see one of the conversation that Moses would have with God. You know, one of the conversation, and I just went read bits out of it. He said, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, I like this part. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou saith unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom will sent with me. Yet as he said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. That's what Moses is saying, repeating God's word back to him. You said you're going to send people to help me. You don't show me who you're going to send. And you said to me that you know me by name. And Jesus. I have found grace in your sight. You know, and it shows us the level of intercession that we as people of God should make. Repeat back his words to him. Repeat back God's words to him. Yes, let him know the promises that he has made to you. You know, and let him see your heart. And if there's any blockage in the way, he's the one that you just surrender to him, that the blockages can be removed. He says, My hands is not short that it cannot bless, nor my ears deaf that it cannot hear, but your iniquity has separated you from me. See where that iniquity is. Remove it. It's already, the price already been paid for that iniquity. It's not like Christ is going to go on the cross again to remove that iniquity. You know your iniquity. Remove it out of the way so that God can have free access to your heart and stuff. You know? So he said, Moses said, you know me by name, and I have found favor, grace in your sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight.
Yes.
That's a prior line, you know. After you tell him his promise, tell God what he has promised you, and then you say, if you have promised me this, then what now? You know, he said, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee.
Jesus, hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
We cannot attain. Oh, God is big and powerful. We cannot attain it. This is the same Moses that has witnessed the ten plagues in Egypt, that God has showed up and teared down the idols in Egypt. This is the same Moses who God would have let parted the Red Sea with the rod. This is the same Moses that knocked the rock and water came gushing out of it. This is the same Moses that had a constant relationship with God. Now Moses is saying to God, show me thy way that I may walk with you. That's an humbling statement from a humble man. That's an humbling statement. He has not attained. The more we walk with God, is the more we realize that we are not attained. There are so much molecules or particles within us that needs to be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God. We have not half been touched by what God can do in a life that is yielded to him. Yielded Moses could have realized that to tell God to show me your way that I may walk with you.
Jesus, mighty God. Mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And God would turn around to Moses and said, my presence shall go with thee. I will give thee rest.
Hey.
That's a conversation right there.
Yes.
And Moses now, later down in that chapter, Moses now would look to God and say, I beseech thee, show me thy glory.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Show me thy glory. God would said, I will make all goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall none man see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me
Oh God.
And thou shalt stand upon a rock.
Yes.
And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said, while my glory pass by thee, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee there. I will cover you there with my hand while I pass by.
Oh, what a God, what a man, what a man, what a man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And I take away mine hand that thou mayest see my back parts, but my face shall not.
What a blessing tonight. What a blessing. What a
covered
blessing.
All people there in the cleft of the rock.
Hallelujah.
He hideth in there. And that where he's hiding us as people of God. Because if we see God's face, that means we are leading.
Jesus.
If we see God's face, that means we are leading. But if we see God's back, that means we are following.
Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
That means we are leading. But if we see his back, that means we are following. God would want Moses to point to a direction where he is now following God.
Yes.
He's seen the back part. He's following. He said, remember what he said before that. He said, show me thy way that I may walk with thee. Show me thy way.
Walk with him.
He's showing Moses his way so Moses can walk circumspectly with his God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
For 40 years, Moses led the Israelites. 40 years Moses led the Israelites before he turned over to Joshua. And God kept his promise always with him, even Moses messed up due to anger, which disallowed him from entering into the promised land. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. There arose not a prophet like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face.
Yes. God
was with Moses to the very end, and he buried him in secret. Moses lived 120 years and was completely healthy.
My God, what a powerful message is tonight. This is a powerful.
He lived 120 years and his was in perfect health. His eyes was not weak, nor his strength gone, according to Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. The people grieved for 30 days for Moses, when Moses disappeared. And God put a stop to it, instructing Joshua to take leadership position.
Moses is dead. Take over.
Take over.
Moses, according to Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 and 6, he said, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in Moab. And the Lord had said, he buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite to Beth Peor. For to this day, no one. We are the grave.
God heard Moses. Hallelujah. What a message.
Theologians would speculate. Theologians would speculate that God secretly buried Moses' body so that the Israelites couldn't make a shine out of it. They couldn't get it to worship it.
Worship. whatever the reason, but God did bury him. God did bury him. He's the only one in the Bible that we hear about that God buried. God himself buried him. Yeah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So, we have come to the end of the study of Moses. We have gone into... We have just sketched a bit of it. It's not exhausted. So don't take it as a complete pathway to the knowledge of Moses. But go and read. Go and read the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and you will learn more. And even in the New Testament is made mention of Moses, even in the Hall of Fame.
It's Moses.
Yes. Moses. So it's not exhausted. The things that have pulled forth are said is not exhausted. There's more to it than that. And I implore you, people of God, to never cease to read about God and his saving grace. Amen. We have come to the end of another Bible study night, 1st of May, March, yeah. Wow. Yeah, and I thank God for you all. I thank God for all those who are joining us for the first time. I hope you will come back again and that you'll find strength from what has been said, and it corresponds with the God that is in you. You know, and it will give you much strength. I welcome my dear beloved sister, Yvonne. My dear beloved sister Yvonne Scott.
Yes, thank you, Everton. Winsome is here to both of us, and it was a wonderful.
My sister
wonderful.
Winsome.
Yep, both of us are here. Thank you.
Bless the Lord, both my sisters, Yvonne and Winsome, all the way over in Florida. Bless God for you both, and to God be the glory, great things he has done. And just a point to note, Yvonne, my sister, she was the one who led me to the Lord over many years ago, back in Jamaica, and the way she did it, even though she don't tell me, she just laughed. She invited me to church. She was visiting Jamaica. And she invited me to, she said, take, that I should drop her at church in Spanish Town. And I said, and I should leave her there. She's going to find her way home. And I said, no, I'm coming. I'm going to dress and come to church with you. Yeah. And she laughed. And I said, why you laugh, Yvonne? And she said, She just laughed. She don't explain to me why she laughed. But that same day that I went to church with my sister, I gave my life to God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you. Amen.
Yes. Yes. And here am I today, keeping the fire burning.
Burning.
It's so blessed to be in the will of Almighty God, because if Yvonne wasn't in the will of Almighty God, then maybe I don't know what would have happened to me. But Yvonne was in the perfect will of God. And, you know, he said, you must bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And I know God is working his plans out in Sister Yvonne's life. And if there's a stars in your crown, Yvonne, as you in glory, stars are waiting for you. And I am one of those stars that are in your crown, because I am going to remain pressing my way through. You know, I'm not going to tell you that it has been an easy walk, but it's been a possible walk with God, because with God, all things are possible. Amen. It's time.
Amen.
It come times when the flesh rebels. It's come times when the flesh fails me. And desires that are not desires would take me over. But to God be the glory. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And when I fall short, he lines me back up. And I could find no rest, no peace in the world until back to him I return. Amen. So bless God for your Brother Jamal, you're here. You were here with us last week. Bless God for you. I saw Sister Chantel. Sister Chantel was here. Bless God for Sister Chantel and for all of us who are here. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Any questions from the floor before we close off? Anything to share from the floor before we close off? All right. So we'll go right into the closing prayer then. Next week we'll start with Joshua. The study of Joshua next week. Amen. Let us pray. Kind, loving, and eternal Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We glorify and we magnify your name. There is none like you. None compares to you. You are God all by yourself. We sit in your presence, mighty God, knowing, Lord, that you mean us good and that you are for us and not against us. Each individual that are here tonight, Lord, have our individual need, and we need you, mighty God, to meet us at the place of our need. We pray, mighty God, that you will take us to Elim where the healing water flows. We pray, mighty God, that you will cause us to have an hunger and a thirst for things of you. We pray, mighty God, that we will be so in tune with you that every step of the way we trod, we will give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Cause us, mighty God, not to be murmurers, but cause us to be faithful, spirit-filled people that takes instructions from you. I pray, mighty God, that you will speak to our spirit in such a way that we understand. Lord God, you know our capacity, and you know what we can entertain. You know what can make our ship goes, mighty God. And so I pray, God, that you will send a word in our spirit that will cause us, mighty God, to be comforted, to know that whatever we are going is not just so, but is an Holy Ghost set up. And we know, mighty God, that our situation that we may be in now is not permanent, but we are just a passing through, and you're going to strengthen us for the journey ahead. Lord, I pray even now, mighty God, that you will meet us at the very point of need. Wherever there is pain, I pray, mighty God, that you will erase it even now. You will cause, mighty God, wherever there is a lock, that you will pour in plenty in us. I pray, mighty God, that we'll gravitate for you more and more each day, mighty God. We will seek to hold on to your unchanging hands and to follow your leadership wherever you would have lead us, mighty God. And so, Lord God, we pray your choicest blessing upon all of us today.
Jesus.
We pray, mighty God, that you'll go with us in a very special way. You will lead and direct us. We know, mighty God, that the enemy doesn't like us, but we don't like it neither, mighty God, because we have denounced every hidden things of darkness, and we have now pledged an allegiance to the Lamb of God. And we walk by faith and not by sight, mighty God. We want to be, hallelujah, we want to be in your perfect will every single day, Lord God. And so, Lord, I pray that you will tug at our hearts, because we know, mighty God, that when you enter into a life, it can never be the same again, but it will be transformed, mighty God. And we can see the possibilities in our dullness and in our waywardness. We can see, mighty God, that you are the one that makes the difference in a life. We pray, mighty God, that we will be vessels of honor in the name of Jesus. I pray, mighty God, that whatever obstacles be in our way, whatever bushel that we seek to hide our lights under, I pray that it will be removed even now. And you will cause us, mighty God, to be empowered to go forth, Lord God, and to be good witnesses and representers of you, Lord God.
Yes, Jesus.
We pray, Jesus, mighty God, that we will not walk in darkness, but we'll walk in light, mighty God. We will know you for who you are, Lord. Mighty God, I pray that you will cause our minds to be so set that we will worship you for who you are and not for possessions of this world or things that our hands can handle or our eyes can look at. Cause us, mighty God, to have the intention to worship you because you are God and God alone. You are the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Work your situation. Work it out in us, mighty God. So, Lord God, we will see you shining in the light of your glory. Mighty God, the psalmist said, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after you. I pray, mighty God, that we'll have that longing, that we'll be panting after you, mighty God, that you will suppress the self-man within us. You will suppress, mighty God, the heart of flesh, and you will cause us, mighty God, to be elevated in you, mighty God, who is our hope and our stay. Lord God, I pray that your hand of mercy will go with us, Lord God. I pray, mighty God, that you will promote us into a place in the name of Jesus that we will see you high and lifted up.
Hallelujah.
Help us to get it right, mighty God. Your word said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto us. Cause us, mighty God, to really seek your face and to find you, mighty God.
Jesus.
Reveal yourself to us, Lord God. I beg you, Jesus, hear me tonight, Lord. Help us as a people to remain steadfast in your word, to remain steadfast in you. Many a times, Lord, we'll take up the Bible to read it, and it would come like we are so drowsy, are so tired, are so weary. Yes. Cause us, mighty God, to have an opening for you, Lord, so that, Lord, we won't give you our what left of the day, but we will give you the first fruit of the day when we are active and alert to read your word and to meditate on it, mighty God, so that we can be good people in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Respond, mighty God, to the cry of our heart. Respond, mighty God, to our soul's desire. Respond, mighty God, to our cry in the inner part. Respond to us, mighty God, in a way in which will bring us, Lord, into a new revelation in you, mighty God, that we will see you as you are, shining, mighty God, in the light of your glory.
Glory to God.
Show us your way that we may walk with you. Hold us by the hand that we will follow you still. Cause us, mighty God, to have an inner connection with you, mighty God, that nothing will break it, Lord. Be the anchor of our soul that holds that grip to the rock, the solid rock of Jesus. Cause us, mighty God, to know you as the bridge over troubled waters. Cause us, mighty God, to see you going before us, that we will follow you along the way, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We have needs, Lord. And you know our needs. But one of our greatest needs, Lord, is to know you as for who you are, our creator and our restorer of the breach. Yes, mighty God, you are the one who restores us when we fall short of your glory. You are the one, mighty God, who stands by us when we are failing. You are the one who paths the pathway for us when we are struggling to see what's next. You are the one, mighty God, that give us a hope and a future. You said that you know the plans that you have towards us, plans of good and not of evil, to give us an expected end, a hope and a future. You know what you'd cut us out to be if we are deviating any at all from your real purpose for our life. Put us back on track. Put us back together again, Lord. You are the potter. We are the clay. Make us and mold us into what you want us to be. Fold us, mighty God, in your love and hold us, dear Lord. You are the vine. We are the branches, mighty God. You said we cannot bear fruit unless we remain in the vine. Cause us, mighty God, to flourish like a green bay tree, mighty God, that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in due season, mighty God. Let us, Lord, as a people of God, hold on, mighty God, to our salvation. Hold on to our integrity, mighty God. Hold on to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Hold on to you, mighty God, who is our hope, our rock, our defense, our strong tower, our mighty deliverer.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are not a normal people, Lord. You mentioned to us as the apple of your eye. You said we are a peculiar people, a holy nation. We are royalty, Lord. You even go as far as to call us ears of God and joint ear with Jesus. We are seated in heavenly places with you, Lord. And as we go through this life, cause us to realize, mighty God, that we are not our own, but we belong to Jesus. Let the mind of Christ be in us, Lord, as you dismiss one from the other. Let us, Lord, be a people, yes, mighty God, that is teachable by you, Lord, that you can lead and we will follow. Give us a meditation on you, Lord, and light up our entire being to be more like you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Peace of God the Father, peace of God the Son. His grace remain and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Welcome, Sister Erica, all the way from Jamaica. Bless the Lord for you, Sister Erica. And Sister Shelley, all those who read this evening, I thank God for you. Brother Emil, Sister Shelley, Sister Joan, we bless God. We bless God for you. We bless God for all of you. In the name of Jesus. Greet somebody as you go. Greet somebody in the name
good
of
night,
Jesus.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Brother Scott. Thank you, Brother Scott.
Yes, yes, Mommy, right.
Bless thank you, Brother Scott, for Mommy. Those powerful words.
Amen, Mommy Bright.
It was very, very good. Keep it up. God is in the midst.
Yes. God is strengthening you day by day. He's going to strengthen you day by day.
Giving you the strength to spread the word. Continue to do what God has told you to do. Continue to serve God. And as we amen, serve God in a special way, but you, God is giving you that strength that you will hallelujah. Go on and to be preaching his word.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Have to be God, sis, because everybody know me as the shy one, the dark one, you know, shy.
Yes,
holding
yes.
on to mommy's crap. But to God be glory.
I know spiritual growth is not easy. Spiritual growth is not easy, but you have to get onto it because God will strengthen you.
And overburden you, so you have to let it out.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. I thank God for this time.
Sister Joan, bless the Lord.
I thank God for this time, Brother Scott. Brother Scott, I've been on my knees asking God to put you back into his kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
The little prayer I asked God for, and I pray to him every night and day just to get you back to where you were.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless
God.
The Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, catch you all next week, God's willing. For another time of study as we look at Joshua. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Amen. Praise God.
Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
John.
Bless the Lord.
Joan,
why are you calling me out, woman?
Call me just
why you calling me? Bless the Lord, Auntie Joan. Bless the Lord, Jamal. Bless the Lord, everyone. Everyone.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Well then.
No, Florida. Florida.
Jamaica.
Florida. No, Florida.
Thank you.